Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. We're right back.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the Extra Hour is Pat.
Good morning.
Hi, and Chris.
Good evening.
Oh, my goodness. No matter what time you listen, VFN Radio is available for you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Right. You know, the weekend's coming up, and don't forget, you can always catch us on the marathon weekend. That's back-to-back. And so, anyway, so encouraged to have you with us here today. You're joining us in the Extra Hour. We're going to be talking about, we're playing a segment called Don't Judge Me Because I Limp. You know, and we just got to be careful these days. You know, we don't want to be ones that are quick to judge. The Bible says, don't despise the day of small beginnings. And you know what? When someone comes to the Lord, there may be a small beginning. There isn't a full maturity there. And so we can be really quick to maybe judge and you know, put our mouth on something that maybe we shouldn't have. You know, people are still working. God is still developing, and God is nurturing and helping Christ being formed in us. And so we want to hear this message because it's really going to encourage us. Listen up.
You know, we root on players. You know, it's just the kind of American culture. You know, kick that ball, push that thing, you know, all these different things that are we're used to. But the reality is, in the church, in the kingdom of God, we're all called to be players in this awesome story that our Creator is telling that started in the beginning, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
And we're part of it. We have a role to play. Although it's short, described by James, considered a vapor, it's a part to play. Mm-hmm. Now, there is something I want to encourage you that if, in fact, you don't know this, you probably have felt trapped to criticize others how they're playing their part. But when you realize, wait a minute, I have a script here. I'm supposed to be doing something. Yeah, and it's amazing how empathetic we can be towards, you know, our brothers and sisters when we find out we're in this drama. I'm supposed to be doing something. And then even if your brother limps, you know, even if your sister, you know, has a few issues, and brothers and sisters do, right? Mm-hmm. We all do. That we want to say, you know what? They're fighting with me. You know, there's nothing more precious than somebody that says, you know what? You know, and I'd rather somebody says, when you're picking somebody who's going to fight on your team, for example, and you're picking who's going to go out and do the patrol, for example, and you look at one guy and his uniform is all perfect and it's got all these, you know, iron creases and perfect medals and, mm-hmm. you know, the color is still there in the uniform. He's got some starched creases down his pants leg, his boots are shining. Mm-hmm. And then you have this other guy, his hair is just, you know, all messed up, which is today's style, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Crazy.
Speaking of that, I saw me in a segment of VFN TV.
I'm glad I grew up in that.
I'm like, did you ever think to mention that my hair looked like a basket case? Y'all thought I was probably trying to style or something for this generation. That's not my style. It looked like a basket of wheat on my head. Anyway, so, you know, thank you very much. I appreciate that. And so
No problem.
His hair is always perfect.
It is.
It's just amazing, isn't it?
Never moves,
you know. Even when the air conditioner in his limousine is blowing. And so you see this other guy, he's disheveled, you know, that his hair is messed up. And they're waiting to see who you're going to pick to go fight with you. And this other guy with a neat, clean uniforms talking about how well he did. You know, he made a 4.0 on his tests and boot camp, and his gun's all shiny and stuff. But this other guy's got rips and tears on his uniform, and His name tag is kind of half ripped off, so you really can't tell what his name is. He's kind of got, he's roughed up, you know, his hands are roughed up. He's just looks, you know, beard kind of growing a little bit, and everybody's leaning forward. Well, most of America presently has been picking this nice, neat-looking dude.
Yeah.
But you understand, if you're going to fight, you know, you're not looking at the outside, you're looking at the inside. So it's not the size of the tiger in the fight, it's the size of the fight that's in the tiger.
That's right.
And when you're talking about choosing people who want you want to, you know, work with and fight with, you know, you want to just you're going to choose that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to choose the guy on the right. You know why? Because he's fought. He's not worried about what he looks like on the outside. He's ready to fight the battle.
Mm-hmm.
He's concerned. There's a fight in his heart, you know. And if pretty much, you know, the Pharisees were worried about the outside of the cup. And you can be with the outside of the cup crew, or you can be with the inside of the cup crew. Think about the people that are thinking about the inside of the cup. They're so focused on the inside of the cup, sometimes the outside's catching up.
Mm-hmm.
Or the outside has a lot of scars in it. But if you go deep into their life, you think, this dude loves God. Despite all of his mistakes, mm-hmm. all of his faults, despite him being a Saints fan, you know, he loves God. That's so precious, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It's so precious. And so you say, I want that guy. Mm. And everybody looks, well, why would you want that guy? I says, that guy's never fought nothing. You know, I don't trust anybody don't well.
Mm.
You know, nobody's haven't been through something.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know the ones that have been through something because they're just all like, you know, they're the ones when the lady was caught in adultery.
Mm-hmm.
And they threw her, not him, whoever him was out there. They didn't bring him in. And they brought her and they threw her at the feet of Jesus. They threw her at the feet of Jesus. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That would be us. And so, and you can imagine, you're on the ground. You're at Jesus' feet. You're at God's feet, Emmanuel's feet. You have all these people who are religious around you. And you're not even looking up because you're thinking, this is not going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because you were in sin.
Right.
You're in sin.
Right.
And they're talking about stoning you. And then they look at Emmanuel, they look at Jesus, the Son of God, and they say, well, doesn't the law say, didn't it say in Leviticus chapter, doesn't it say in Revelation, you know, it's like mm-hmm. whipping the word on you, like beating you with the sword instead of helping you, cutting things off your life, they're cutting you.
Right.
To stone her. I mean, that's like tough. That's tough, isn't it?
I would think so.
I mean, you've been a Saints fan for a long time, so you can kind of relate to what some of that's like, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I remember your paperback over your head.
It hangs on my wall.
Yeah, right. And that's just, I mean, think about it. Just pause for a moment and think about it. You're at the feet of God. Jesus has come to make the Father known. The people who said they're for God are not for you, and they're using accurate scripture against you, and Jesus didn't call them a liar. And so you're thinking, any time now you can say these guys are wrong, because they weren't wrong
mm-hmm.
in regards to saying the law says that she's to be stoned.
Right.
But then Jesus said this. He said this. He said, he that's without sin, you exercise the law towards her. You set yourself as judge over her. You execute this. You sit on the bench, you take your gavel, you slam it down, and you start stoning her.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know, if you're her, you're going like, dude, these guys are really going to think they didn't sin or nothing. They're going to hit me with a stone. It's going to hurt. And wouldn't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how many people's like, you're throwing stones, and you're like, are you really? Are you seriously sitting here stoning somebody? Don't you know who we are?
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that. It's embarrassing. And so she waits, still looking at his feet. Jesus even squats down to where she's at, right? Kneels down and starts drawing in the sand.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just like, ta. because people that aren't righteous still kill you.
Yeah, right.
There had to be an anointing drop at that moment because there's so many people that get blinded by religious pride that they really think they're righteous in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And the clock's ticking, right?
That's right.
And so Jesus is drawing in the sand. I mean, think about it. Maybe he's just drawing things that they did. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, and what happens is, I mean, we don't know he's drawing.
Mm-hmm.
He's just waiting. And then the older men, that's what it says, the older men drop their stones first. They take their judge robes off and they put their gavel down. They're going like, I'm not going to do nothing here. I'm not going to do nothing. You know why? Because the longer you live, the more you limp.
Right.
Or the more you realize you limp. That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, these young whippersnappers in the Lord, that's the Southern term for, like, what are you thinking? They just haven't, you know, they have a lot of zeal, but they don't understand yet. It's not applied. There's no application in their life yet. And it's good. Don't ever snuff out zeal, but just brace yourself to be there for them when they experience the reality that they are a fallen man or fallen woman.
Yeah, right.
And they're going like, I can't believe that I thought this thought. You're thinking, oh, my goodness. And you can be calm about it.
All right.
You know, because it's really it's a brand new thing to them. I can't believe I thought I was so perfect and now I have all this pride in my life. Well, no, you're just beginning to see the pride in your
life.
Right. We were well aware of it for quite some time. Right?
Right, yeah.
And we were just, you know, we understand because, you know, we ourselves are the same. And so the older guys drop their rocks first, but the younger guys are still holding on to the rocks. They're still holding on to the opportunity. Wait a minute. It does say there she's wrong. It does say that she's sinned. That's exactly what the law says. And they're pondering back and forth. I think we should take her out. You know, and then I think he begins to write a few more things in the sand. I mean, I don't know what he's writing, but something happened. Because they had the second thought. And they began to drop their rocks. And everybody walked away. They were right in saying that the law says she should be stoned. We all should be.
Mm-hmm.
But now under the new covenant, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know, that we can be forgiven instead of being stoned. And so Jesus looks at her after all of her accusers left, and he says, where are your accusers?
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, now go and sin no more.
Right.
He didn't say, continue on with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
He said, go and sin no more. What does that mean? I mean, this lady had a limp. These other men, young and old, had a limp.
Mm-hmm.
And those are people you can trust. They've been through something. They understand things. And the naivety, you know, and the difficult, you know, you can be in a place that you never grow up in God. If you don't have anybody that's speaking into your life, somebody discipling you, you can be 60 years old, 50 years old, but in reality, spiritually, you're probably maybe 3 years old because nobody ever brought you out of the milk of the word. And you're struggling every single day with elementary things and you're defeated. You know why? Because you haven't matured in the Lord. But there's 10,000 teachers and there's very few fathers. We have been dysfunctional in the church. We've been dysfunctional at large, because in America at least, but the world in general, but definitely America, we're seeing statistics that prove it. They say 70% of Americans survey says that the major problem in America is the absence of the father. It's the absence of the father.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what pushed him out or what seduced him out? What's going on? Well, it's because the father's in the church. There's no fathers in the church. I mean, there are fathers in the church, but there's not many fathers in the church. There's a lot of teachers. Let me teach you something. I don't want to hear another teaching right now. I want somebody to mature me. I want somebody to love me. I want somebody to teach me to move from that younger person to the older person so that I can be okay with the limp that I have in my life, that I can walk this out. and that God loves me in the context of this. You know, help me understand that though men accuse me, Jesus is not my accuser. That Satan's the accuser of the brethren. Help me learn that I need to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, not a religious figure sitting on some shelf somewhere in my house and a dusty Bible that 97%, you know, are not even interested in the context of the heart. Where they, you know, help me, raise me. Paul said there's 10,000 teachers, but very few fathers in Christ Jesus. Listen, if we want to see families restored, we want to see marriage get back to where God says it needs to be. It's not going to happen because we have somebody teach us about it. Mm. It's going to happen when fathers get the courage to realize we all limp, and it's been the accuser telling you you can't be it. And let me tell you, the accuser lines up. It's like, my goodness. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm hoping, you know, this week on VFN TV, you know, by God's grace, that we're going to speak about the accuser. We're going to uncover this accuser. Because Satan is the accuser of the brother. He accuses day in and day out. And if you don't understand that, you think actually somebody else is accusing you or God's accusing you and all the different stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's actually his voice in doing that. And the father's coming back. And so men need men. Women need women to be able to raise them up in the Lord to be fathers and mothers in the Lord. It's a family. We're called to be family. And we need fathers and mothers who talk about their limp. Who say, you know, I've been through some stuff. You know, help me know that you're not perfect. You know, I can possibly see that you're not, but you're not explaining to me how you're not.
Right.
You know, and because you're, and this is what happens when you try to act religiously perfect, the enemy accuses you to that person, and then that person begins to accept those criticisms and begins to look for all your faults and tries to prove that you're not religiously perfect. And the truth is, that's all Satan's plot altogether. You know, we should have been authentic and transparent. It's time for us. The hope for America is not a man. It's not a woman. Mm-hmm. It's the man, Jesus Christ. We limp. The very fact that we say that we are Christians means that we are sinners. There's no way out of this thing. We're bound for hell. But we found that there's a way to God.
Right.
There's a way to God. Through his son, Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for us. I mean, that's the whole thing. But the fact to say you're a Christian is not that we can put on a robe and grab a gavel and a stone and start heading out somewhere and fixing to do business like that. The fact that we're a Christian, we admitted that we had to humble ourselves and we had acknowledged that we sinned and that we're hopeless outside of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord. But in knowing him, that he empowers us to walk a walk out that we couldn't even walk before through his grace and his mercy. Mm-hmm. I mean, just the fact, and so to jump from saying that, you know, we are Christians and then jump right into, and then I'm your measuring stick, you know, you should live a life like me instead of Jesus Christ being the standard. It's like, where did that come from?
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. And so today, I just want to encourage you today, if you limp, you know, understand that we all limp. We all limp. If you don't limp on the outside, you know, you limp on the inside. And you don't want to blame anybody for your limp. You just want to, I limp. You know, I limp. But it just makes me more dependent on God. It makes me more grateful to the Lord for saving me and loving me. Amen. You know, obviously, we have a lot less limps than Pat. But it's encouraging to know when we look and project that we could be like that. No, seriously. Sweetest man you ever want to meet.
Cricket.
It's good.
I love you, man.
There you go, love you, man. Oh, wow. Sacrifice. So no, seriously. No, dude, we're always joking about that. Obviously, you know, I'm the chiefest of sinners. Pat's running a near close in the race, and Chris is beating us by nose.
I did smoke my Bible.
right. He did smoke his Bible. Find out more about that on the VFN Torch. And so, even see the Bible that he smoked. Come, see the Bible that he smoked. So, the biggest thing you could think about this morning, you know, before we go to this break, I just want to encourage you this morning. Listen. Don't fall captive. Realize when you stand up for God, and you say, you know, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to abide with him, and I'm going to obey him, and I'm going to believe he's going to empower me to be a father, a mother, a family, a business owner, an American citizen, you know, that, you know, you're going to have enemies. I mean, the enemy is going to be the ones who want to walk in darkness, the ones who don't want to walk with God. They're not going to tell you, listen, I mean, this is what they, if they really were authentic and transparent, this is what they would say. And we've already talked about this in Proverbs. They would go, listen, you're absolutely right. God is real, and he did send his son. And every time I'm around you, all my evilness, all of my dark ways, all that my sin is ever before me. And I feel so convicted when you're around because I realize I'm wrong. All I could think about and hear that I've sinned and I need Jesus. And you are so right in telling me I need the Lord. And I'm just so grateful. You know, they're not going to tell you that. They're going to say, I hate you. You know, they're going to say, you know, you always, you, and the accuser thing. And the reason why is because they feel like such a sinner in the presence of God. You know why? Because they're just getting in touch with what you already knew. We all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But the difference is they're saying, I don't want to leave my sin.
Right.
And when you know you're wrong, and you know what the answer is, and you don't choose the answer, you're a miserable person. And you got to blame someone. But this is the big thing. There's a final exam. Every one of us alone will stand before the throne of God, the holy throne of God. So you may live your whole life blaming everybody for your choice to walk in darkness, but guess what? You're going to have to explain that to God. And it's not going to be good if you didn't choose the right answer. The right answer is Jesus Christ, a personal relationship with him. Find out more how we, or some of us, you know, our stories on meetmyfather.org, and maybe that can help you understand. Listen, God, we've all sinned. Every one of us need to drop our rock. Not only are we the religious person holding the rock that we need to drop, but we're also the woman caught in adultery. But all of that was at the feet of Jesus. Not just the woman caught in adultery. God loves us all. We were just talking about the awesome grace of God and that, you know, we are not supposed to be judging our brother. The truth is we should judge ourselves to see if we're in the faith. We should test ourselves. But in regards to our brother and our sister, that we're supposed to let God do that, which is a great, it'll take a lot of pressure off of you. I mean, you can get different clothes now. You can get rid of your robe. You can, you know, break your gavel.
Mm-hmm.
And say, you know, God, I'm going to leave this to you. I'm going to leave this to you. And he says this. He says, don't judge anything before it's time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would have judged me before this time, you would have never known this is what I would be doing this.
Mm, right.
Right?
Right.
And understand, you have a shooting story too. I mean, you think about it.
Oh, I do.
No one ever would have thought. Right?
That's right.
Right. Now, Pat, we probably would have thought he'd be doing something like that. Does. But you can't judge anything. You just don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with somebody. And you got to give, you know, the kingdom time to grow in one's hearts. And don't judge. Just not our place to judge. He says, you know, whatever mercy you, amount of mercy that you give others, that's the amount of mercy that's going to be given to you. Does that mean you don't speak truth? No, of course you speak truth. Does that mean that you don't look at a situation and evaluate it if it's right for you and right wrong for you, or if it's you know, right for the church or wrong for the... No. But in regards to an individual, realize there's always hope. There's always hope. And we just speak the truth in love, not in judgment. You know, when we share things with people, you know, you have to share it in a way they want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
If you condemn them when you're sharing it, they're not going to listen to you.
Right.
So then that was more of a judgment.
Right.
But if you empathize with them and say, listen, let me tell you about Chris's life. And they go, wow, you know, I'll tell you about my life.
I usually get that effect.
Yeah.
Wow, there is hope for me.
Yeah, yeah. And so that encourages them. That's why we write Meet My Father, you know, a few testimonies up to show people to understand this, that God can use you. There's hope.
Vine Fellowship Network University. VFNU.org. Let me tell you a little bit about it. You got to understand how things start and what God says and how God, when he begins to do something, a new thing, a new work, mm-hmm. he will normally call a people out from what he presently or in the past established so he can begin not a new gospel, but a fresh wind, a fresh anointing for the next generation, mm-hmm. you know. And one thing that we found out at Vine Fellowship Network is that, you know, God was preparing us for this next season of what's taking place. It really looks like possibly for the end times, right. you know. But either way, it's for our generation, you know. And at Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU, you can actually begin to learn and grow because God's called you into the harvest field. It's not really an option. It's not the great option. It's mm-hmm. or the suggestion. It's the Great Commission. And in VFNU, you'll learn the history of how did the Vine Fellowship Network come to pass. I mean, how did it happen? And it came from a compelling and a word and a direction from God, mm-hmm. and totally in alignment. Everything that we're aware of that is a related and scripturally correct. It just ties in. You can't help but look in every direction. And Vine Fellowship Network University, the pattern, the biblical pattern that he's called us to walk out, which is just the word of God, mm-hmm. that it reminds you of God.
Right.
You know, and a true prophet draws you closer to God, and a false prophet draws you closer to themselves. Mm-hmm. And our desire at Vine Fellowship Network University and VFN is to for you to be drawn closer to God. A byproduct of that is you're going to be closer to your brothers and sisters in the Lord. But that is you're closer to God, you're hungrier for God. So in VFNU, you learn things about, you know, how the church is to function. Now, right now, we've taken on so many mindsets of the world, especially the American board business mindset, mm-hmm. that we're convinced that the Father's business is like the world's business, but is not.
Right.
And we also talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. You know, what is, you can't rule out the one who's supposed to be, you know, ruling the church and under Jesus, and understanding how it controls God, and understanding the importance of being rightly related. And the, you know, there's biblical, daily, weekly, there's patterns that we as believers that God tells us to go by in his word, and you'll discover what they mean biblically, how they fit, financial integrity, you know, finding out how we can best do what's right before God in our financial areas, mm-hmm. discovering the biblical patterns of gathering as a church, the importance of maintaining your confidence, understanding the voice of the Lord, how God can speak with you, to you, mm-hmm. you know, biblical foundations of faith, dealing with authority, zero tolerance, walk, worship, and warfare. I mean, there's so many things that you learn through VFNU. That it just empowers you to do what God's called you to do. Listen, we want to see everything that God's called you to be manifested in your life. And we want to see you in the Great Commission. We're in agreement with you. Find out more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain right. this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more. Because they're so attracted to mm-hmm. being the church instead mm-hmm. of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation
right.
that has just been shared by God. How it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. We're just listening to Don't Judge Me Because I Limp. Man, that's just powerful.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That is just powerful.
Gives you hope, huh?
Gives me hope, man, because, you know, sometimes some people have, they put on a badge, man, they're like God's patrol. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I don't remember reading this in the Word. You know what I'm saying? Like, where'd that ruler come from? You know what I mean? Right. It's like I'm on the construction here. You know what I'm saying? I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Mm-hmm. And it's just so cool to know that, hey, you know, everyone's been to, you know, from somewhere.
Right.
And God's bringing us closer and closer to Him. Mm-hmm. And it's just so good to know that, listen, you know, God's going to work with you. He's going to see you through.
Absolutely.
You know, he's going to see the salvation of the Lord complete in your life and fruit develop. You know what I mean? So it's just a beautiful thing. But we just got to be careful. Just got to be careful that we don't get into a place of really pride. And remember, the Word of God says that, you know, whatever we've done to the least of these brothers of mine, we have done to me. You have done to me, speaking of Jesus. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. It helps me to keep everything in perspective, you know, keeps everything in perspective.
Right.
And I love it because it's all about the Lord. Well, as we come to the end of really the extra hour, the last half of the extra hour, we do want to talk about, you know, it's not what we say Jesus is. It's what we do that proves who He is in our life. And it's so much, you know, it's easier these days to say a lot of words. You know what I'm saying? But it's the fruit and the action that really says it all. And in Luke chapter 6, Jesus asks a really important question. I mean, Jesus is asking a question. Mm-hmm. He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" I mean, that's startling. If Jesus is going to ask you a question, I'm saying, I don't want it to be that one.
Yeah, not that one.
But why do you call me Lord, Lord, boss, boss, master, master, but you don't do what I say? And you can imagine, I mean, Jesus was talking to crowds all the time. I mean, people followed Jesus everywhere. They came from, I mean, long distances. They would travel for hours just to be an earshot of Him. He was extremely popular. And we don't have to look past one particular account to really imagine what was it like when He shared, when He fed the 5,000. Remember that, when He fed the 5,000?
Mm-hmm.
Those were 5,000 men that were gathered. Mm-hmm. 5,000 besides women and children. Wrap your mind around that. He healed them. He prayed for them. And you could imagine him. Some guy standing up, I said, "I'm not leaving until He touches me. I'm going to stay in this line."
Yeah.
There's 5,000 men, not including women and children. He had compassion on them. He prayed for them, healed them. Then the disciples said, "You guys got to feed these guys here. This is, you know, they're a long way from home."
Yeah.
They traveled out here logistically. And so Jesus, you know, was familiar with crowds. There's a lot of people crowding and coming around the Lord. And think about it. There's still large crowds today surrounding the Lord, mm-hmm, that appear to be going after Jesus. And the truth is that you can fool some people some of the time. You may be able to fool yourself sometimes as well. But there's one person that you'll never be able to fool, and that is God. Mm-hmm. And so it's an important question. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And if it's true in the time of when Jesus walked on the face of the earth, if Jesus had to ask the question when Jesus was walking on the face of the earth, believe me, I probably still think it's true for some today. That there are those who call Jesus Lord, and they say they're Christians, but they don't obey God's word. And I believe one of the reasons this is happening is because there has been a no lordship gospel being preached. And it basically says that, hey, listen, just accept Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus died for your sins. Jesus loves you. Just accept him as your savior. And, you know, essentially, you know, that's all you got to do. I'm not really saying all those particular words, but don't worry about living for him or reading his word or obeying what he says, because all you have to do is just believe.
Right.
Think about that. Let me tell you, we need to preach the full gospel, the full message that you accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. He is one. He is Savior and Lord. And listen, if you're not ready to accept him as Lord, then let me tell you, then you're not ready to accept him as Savior. You know what I'm saying? They're one and the same. It's like someone, it's like, you know, if you're not ready to be committed to only one person when you marry and you want to be with others too, you're not ready to be married.
Mm-mm.
You know, you're not ready to be married. What woman wants to be with a husband like that? And what husband wants to be with a woman like that, a wife like that?
Mm-hmm.
They call that thing, they call that an open relationship. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And if you wouldn't settle for, if they wouldn't settle for that type of relationship, why do others attempt to have an open relationship with the Lord? You know, I'll take the blessings. I'll take the salvation. I mean, that's pretty cool. You know what I'm saying? Definitely don't want to go to hell. Definitely don't want that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Do want you to get me out of my troubles. Love that. Love the healing. That's all cool.
All right.
But this Lord stuff, this eat my flesh, drink your blood stuff, this is where I'm having the dilemma. And let me tell you something. It's like we gotta preach all the letters in red. You know what I'm saying? Everything. And Jesus comes to take over. He's not an addition. It just doesn't happen that way. I mean, Jesus said you can't have two masters. You can only serve one and despise the other. We share this often, but only 81% of believers, according to George Barna. This is staggering. 81% of Christians actually read the Word of God, and only 3% feel that they're responsible for their own spiritual development.
Right.
Contrast that to what Jesus says, that you should not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not to mention that in Matthew 7, where it says that many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord. Boss, boss, master, master, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform miracles? And then I will tell them plainly. I call that speaking English. I will talk to them plainly.
Right.
I never knew you. Mm. Away from me. This is Jesus. I encourage you to read the Word of God slowly.
Yeah.
You know, you can burn through, you know, just read through. No, this is not a speed reading exercise.
It's not a textbook.
No. If you have to, put your index finger on each word. You know, I used to read real fast. I had to slow myself down years ago and putting my finger on each word to really think about what's being said here. Away from me. You evildoers. A little extra there.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
This is Jesus says, and we're seeing a pattern here that people don't have a problem saying, Lord, Lord. But let me tell you, God's not interested in what you're saying about his lordship. He's interested about what you're doing, the fruit in your life that shows that he is the Lord. And it's very simple. Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. I'm going to say that again for you.
Do that again.
Your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks.
Wow.
The question is how is your walk?
Mm.
God is not interested in your talking. He's interested in your walking. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is not about talking our way into God. This is about having a fruitful relationship. And Jesus, he just asked the question. This is important. He asked the question. Why do you say to me, why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come right back, and we're going to finish this out. Because we're going to find out how God gives us the keys. He's asking us this question for a reason, and it's important to examine ourselves. It's important to do that. We'll be right back.
You know, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to VFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7, anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to at VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN-TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Well, yeah. I wasn't talking about that miracle. I was talking about another miracle.
Oh,
that the one that you received
again.
Don't you remember?
Come on, man.
Help me.
You were driving across the plains of America in the storms, and we're talking about the goodness of God in the land of the living, and We were talking about, this is what happened, Pat.
Obviously, he's got amnesia.
So, you know, we're talking about the Lord and all these wonderful things that God's doing. And all of a sudden, he's in all this traffic. I don't know, probably 8 lanes of traffic, I'm imagining. I can ask him when we finish talking about him. and all of a sudden, he just interrupts our conversation with, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness,
what happened?
Maybe he can't reach the accelerator. I'm thinking, what's going on? What's going on right here?
Get another phone book.
Yeah, go. Pillow. That pillow thing may have slid out. And so I'm thinking, this is dangerous in traffic. You know, you got to be able to reach those pedals. And all of a sudden, I didn't know what it was. And then finally, he let me know that he was out of gas.
Oh, are you serious?
He was out of gas, and he was like, it was raining. I can tell it was raining because his wipers were going, boom, boom. His phone picks up so good. I'm like,
everything.
I'm not going to get on a rabbit trail because I'll be lost. But anyway, and it was just over. He's going to be stuck on the side of the road in the middle of the rain.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, another state because he was heading back to his state. And we prayed. He prayed. I said, okay, I'll let you go.
Bye.
Well, I know how it goes.
I said, I'll let you go.
He didn't stay in
front of him. I'm sure you know you can wear this puppy out. I'll let you go. I'll let you go. And, you know, we just said a prayer for him. Dear God, help John.
Those always seem to work.
And next thing you know, I get a phone call, and he gives me a testimony that God just
caused the car to begin to run on fumes. It ran on fumes all the way to a gas station.
Oh, my God.
And he got gas.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That has never happened for me.
No, no, no. Well, our, you know, John gets extra miracles.
He gets extra
credit. He gets totally extra miracles. You know, you're just too smart. If we, you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, we, you know what I'm saying? John and I need a lot more miracles than you.
We need a lot of miracles.
Yeah. That's amazing. So back to you, John.
Actually, it was, the car stopped.
He didn't look at the gas gauge.
Rain. Gas. And I got caught up talking to, you know, Mr. You-Know-Who. And so we're having this in-depth conversation. We're having such a great conversation. Oh, my goodness, I forgot to get gas. So
he knew this because his car began to jerk all over the road. Not because he looked in the direction of the gas gauge.
Needle, yeah.
Hiccups, you know, hiccups. And so it was an experience. It was an experience, to say the least. Welcome back to VFN Radio, and thank you for joining us in the extra hour. I'm John, and joining with me today is Chris and Pat. And we're just talking about, before our break, you know, it's not what we say who Jesus is, but it's what's happening in, you know, it's what we do that proves who he is in our life. And, you know, Jesus asked a question. He said, man, you know, why do you call me? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you do not do what I say? And it's so important because your walk walks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And God's not interested in what we're talking. He's interested in how we're walking, right?
That's right.
And the question is, why do we do this? You know, why do you do this? And this is a question really based out of love. If you understand God's heart, he's asking in our heart. He wants us to think about this. He wants us to examine ourselves. And the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, it says to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you? Unless, of course, you fail the test. Mm. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul talking. It's like, you know, he spoke English too. You know, he spoke English. He just put it out there plain. We got to examine ourselves.
I think he spoke Greek.
Yeah, Greek, Hebrew.
Arabic.
Actually, Hebrew. But
you're right, Arabic.
But examine yourself. Examine yourself. Now, I'd rather examine myself on this side of eternity than, you know what I'm saying, on the other side. It's going to be a little too late. I don't want to do that examination. But I want to do it on this side. And it's important to evaluate our walk. Is our walk matching our talk? With everything that's happening in America, I mean, almost every day, every week, we're seeing prophetic fulfillment around the globe. Especially in America. And we're seeing the judgment of God. And we know that the answer for America, you know, is not for the world to get right. It's for the church to get right first, right?
That's right.
If we do four things, then God will do three things. He already told us in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, one, and pray, two, and seek my face, three, and turn from their wicked ways, four, then I, God, will what? Hear from heaven, one, will forgive their sin, two, and will heal their land, three. Mm. We got to begin to what? Humble ourselves, right? Stop trying to get God to bless what you want to do. God will bless what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. He's not going to bless our plans. He's going to bless his plans. And instead of asking God to approve of what you want to do, ask God. Ask God, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. The second thing is we pray. We have communion with God. We open the doors to fellowship. And when you pray, you're just simply communicating with God, which is a twofold experience, right?
Right.
Involves talking and listening, right? Prayer positions us to hear what God wants to say. And many have reduced prayer to a laundry list of things for God to do. And God, could you do them quickly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have failed to recognize the great privilege of communing with God. And then what that does, it allows us, it positions us to be able to seek God's face. I mean, God told Moses, you can't see my face and live. So we just want to seek his face. What is it, seek his face? Well, you'll never seek after God if you don't communicate with him, right? So you got to pray. But seeking his face means that you seek him with pure motives, that you're not seeking his hand, his provision, or what you want him to do for you, but you're eagerly seeking out the Father's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. You know, Paul said, this was Paul's confession, okay? Paul's confession in Romans 1:1. He says, I am a devoted slave of Christ. I'm a bondservant. Peter said the same thing in 2 Peter 1:1. He says, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. They opened their letter saying, let me introduce myself to you. I am the slave of Jesus Christ.
Right.
In case you didn't know,
right.
Let me make it plain. A devotion to another without a regard of one's own interests. Listen to that. A devotion to another without a regard to one's own interests. When you encounter God, like we talked about yesterday, when you encounter Jesus, you just want to give yourself and say, listen, the life that I have, this little life, it belongs to you. It belongs to you. Why? Because God's will has become now your will. Because God's desires have become what? Your desires.
Right.
You've traded your dreams for, guess what? His dreams. His dreams. In fact, his desires have become your dream. And we seek after his heart of love. And this is important. This is all good. All these first three are really nice. But it really has to end, right? This is where the walking gets walking,
mm-hmm.
right? Is when we begin to turn, repent from wicked ways. This is where the rubber hits the road.
Yeah.
You know, everybody loves the Holy Ghost party, right? Everyone loves the glory of God. But the glory of God don't come without, you gotta have repentance. And repentance is turning away from the sins. In fact, Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. I mean, let this thing show up in your life, right?
Right.
And then what God's going to do? You know, when we get serious with God, what's going to happen? God's going to get serious with us. Mm-hmm. So he's asking the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't even do what I say? Listen, if we humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, turn from our wicked ways, then God, in response to our first action, God, in response to what we actually walked out, will respond back to us. And the first thing he says is, listen, I'm going to hear you. To have access to God, that he actually hears you, he hears your heart, he hears your prayer, he's going to hear us. Second thing he's going to do, he's going to forgive us. Let me say, the greatest need we have right now is for God to forgive us of the wickedness that we have done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he'll have compassion, right? He'll forgive us and he'll heal our land. And our land needs so much healing. But you know what? It starts with you. It starts with me. It starts with us. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to examine yourself. You have to examine yourself. So he says, I will show you. Jesus, let me make it plain for you again. He goes on to say in Luke 6, I will show you what he is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them into practice. Right? He talks about a house And he makes this comparison about a house that's built on the right foundation and then a foolish foundation. When he talks about the house being built on the right foundation, he says this house has a foundation that when the storms come, when the torrents come, when the winds come to take it out, it stands in the end. But then there's, you know, a foolish builder, right, who builds on a house with no foundation. Let me go back and say this, that if you build your house on the right foundation, the spirit, your spiritual house, if you build the foundation on Jesus Christ, it's, listen, the storm reveals what your house made out of. Mm-hmm. But then there's a foolish builder, right? You have two options. It has, you know, he didn't build on a foundation. And the thing about it is that it has an outward appearance. People have an outward appearance that your spiritual house is in order, but in reality, it's all a facade. Your house has no foundation. It's built on weak, shifty sand. And when the storms come, when the torrent wind comes, your spiritual house collapses in on itself. So Jesus is making it clear, listen, don't call me Lord, Lord. Don't play church. Don't have religion. Don't hang around the cross, right? Get on the cross. Don't say, Lord, Lord, and you're not even following. You have no relationship with me. You're not putting my words into practice. You're talking, but you're not walking. You're merely fooling yourselves, because there's a time coming. There's a wind that's coming. There's a storm that's coming to your life. And if you don't know me, just knowing about me, being familiar with me, is not going to be enough. You got to build your house on the right foundation. Mm-hmm. And he's giving us a loving warning. We can't give God lip service, because in the end, both these houses look alike. But what's going to happen to the house that's not built on the right foundation? And many today have settled for a form of godliness. It's a form, just a little bit of Jesus, just enough religion, just enough to blend with the crowd, and they have staked their eternal life on that. And then they keep building on it. They keep building and building, married, kids, careers, everything, religious stuff. But they didn't really truly encounter God, never lived totally surrendered to him. And in the end, when you realize that it was all for naught, it was all a waste. When the storm comes, you really find out what your house is really made out of. And how many homes have been destroyed, literally destroyed, and you're literally holding on to broken 2x4s and busted windows and doors. And it's a sad way for it all to end. And that's why we can take heed to what Jesus is saying. He's warning us. He's asking us the question, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I want to encourage you that if you call him Lord and you're doing what he says, then when the wind comes and you've made Jesus your foundation, you will stand and you will remain in Christ. You will remain in Christ. We have a choice today. We have a choice, church. We have a choice, church. Which way are we going to go? Are we going to build on a solid, true relationship with Jesus Christ on the rock? Or are we going to build on sand for sand and have a facade of a relationship? I want to tell you something. There's nothing like building on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that matters, and he'll be faithful to the end.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.